You're listening to a High Voltage Radio Network podcast. Find more at highvoltageradio.com.
This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Down with the king!
Yo, you know what it's about, so let's tell them why you're mad.
You know what really grinds my gears?
A man!
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not gonna take this anymore!
Now for something completely different.
It's time for a royal rant, presented by the Kings of Sport.
I said the king's in the building. Tell me how you feeling. Yeah, I said the king's in the building. Tell me how you feeling.
What in the wide, wide world of sports is going on?
Now I'm about to show them how to make it in America. She's a ugly Betty, all America Ferrera. Am I speaking clear enough? AC Dub, turn me up. I be chasing green like I'm running after turnip trucks. Who am I? Think you know. Bakers, man, I get that dough. All I see is Charlie Sheen, so I'm on my Emilio. Estevez, Esteban, they don't be what I be on. Every track I poop up on, I turn it into Grey Poupon.
And welcome to the Kings of Sport, the program that's changing the game one show at a time, a.k.a. the world's most dangerous sports show, a.k.a. iTunes' longest-running weekly episodic sports program produced and hosted by two or more African-Americans that are not affiliated with a major network. I'm your host, the Godfather Nate Milton, and this is a special Royal Rant edition of the podcast. If you're new to the program, we do this from time to time. It's an abbreviated version. We give you the concentrated form of the podcast. So instead of three or four segments, you get us in one big shot, which immediately in my head sounded better and less dirty than I intended it to, than it actually came out. But I'm not going to stand alone on this branch and be out here exposed. I'm going to tag in my partner in this journey, my partner in crime. Ladies and gentlemen, you know him, you love him. Give it up for Marcus. Light-skinned privileges, Vanderberg.
What are these privileges you speak of?
I mean, you tell me, brother. You the one getting name-checked on other podcasts out here on these streets.
Yes, shout out to the Black on Black Cinema crew. but outside of podcast shout-outs, I mean...
Really, we have talked about, you know, when we did our Secret Origins of Marcus Vandenberg episode, you got good hair.
Mm-hmm.
That seems to be a light-skinned privilege.
Or a privilege of being sick, one of the two. But okay.
I mean, sickness, superpowers, blessing, curse, it's two sides of the same coin, brother. I mean, in order for Spider-Man to be powerful, he had to get bitten by a radioactive bug, so take the good with the bad.
All right.
You know, they got that sweet Elder Barge hair, man. It comes with a price. Comes at a cost, Marcus.
Nothing's free.
Right. You know how many of your brothers had to put conch in their hair just to have that level of combability that you possess? but yeah, how you doing this week, brother?
Not too bad. How about yourself?
I'm all right, other than, like we were talking before we came on air this week, I got like a head cold out of nowhere. So I guess it's like the Randy Orton of colds, because I didn't see it coming. And we're recording Sunday evening, and I think when I went to bed last night, I had a sniffle, and then when I woke up this morning, I was just stuffy. So if you hear it on the show in my voice, ain't too much I can do about it, people.
This is like twice in 4 weeks, right?
Yeah. So I don't know if it's just a change in the seasons, because it is getting a little warmer out here. We got the pollen and everything kicking up in Virginia, or I've got CNN on in the background, and your president is making his world tour. So I don't know if it's seasonal or I'm just allergic to the bullshit.
By the way, I've not told you I'm going to be in Virginia next month.
Oh, really?
Yes, I have a wedding in Charlottesville.
See, that's another light-skinned privilege, going to Charlottesville.
for the weekend, a weekend in Charlottesville.
Only black men in Charlottesville play for University of Virginia.
Yeah, pretty much.
Oh, that's cool. So how long are you going to be up there? Just a weekend?
We're going down to Charlottesville on Friday, coming back Sunday, and then we leave from D.C. like on Monday to go back home. So,
okay.
Friday night, Saturday.
Okay. See, if you were staying longer, you could have made the trip down to Newport News.
I was looking for flights back, and I was looking for the cheapest option, and I was looking all around. I even looked at as far out as Charlotte, but
wow.
Yeah, but I'm going to fly back out of Dulles, so I looked.
Okay. Yeah, because Newport News, we got an airport, but it's really expensive, and mm-hmm. It's like there's only, I think, 5 airlines that fly out of it. Like, there's a JetBlue hub, and it's only got, like, 1 plane. Like, I don't even know why. Like, some politician put in the bid, like, 15, 20 years ago, however long it's been, that airport's been up. So we have an airport, for some reason, like, across the street from Walmart that nobody goes to because it's so expensive. Like, it's cheaper to go to Norfolk or Richmond to fly out than it is to fly out of Newport News.
That's a shame.
So, good job, politicians. We're not here this week, though, to talk about Marcus's travel itinerary or the effectiveness or ineffectiveness of our political system. We are here to talk sports and also foolishness. So we got a little bit of both to talk about this week. We're going to talk about the NBA playoffs, of course. We've got an update, I guess you could say, on the biggest fight on the horizon in boxing and or UFC, McGregor Mayweather. And we're going to end this week with a little tidbit, a little taste of ratchetness, because Marcus and I are going to get to the bottom of this damn romper phenomenon.
Oof, just in time for summer, right?
Just in time for summer. So let's start with the NBA, because I think that'll be the easiest topic to knock out. Basically, this next week, I guess, is like when you're playing a season on NBA 2K, mm-hmm. and it's like sim to the next key game. That's what I wish somebody would do. Like, just sim both of these series to the next key game.
Which would be game one.
Game one of the finals, yep. So in the East, Cleveland is going to play tonight, and they should in the evening with a 3-0 lead on the Boston Celtics, who are now without your man Isaiah Thomas.
Yeah. I mean, they had no shot with Isaiah at this rate, but without Isaiah,
yeah,
it could get even uglier somehow. So he's out. And listen, I guess the good news is, hey, you have the number one pick in the draft.
Well, see, that to me is a story that is maybe more interesting than this series, because the series is over. Mm-hmm. It's been over. But, like, you've actually got people, and by people, I mean people in Boston, and also people in the media, speculating that this could be Isaiah Thomas's last game in a Celtics uniform, or, you know, last week in a Celtics uniform, I guess. And I don't know, Marcus, that to me seems real suspect. Like, if I guess the assumption is that the Celtics would use that first pick to take, was it Markelle Fultz?
Who are these people saying this? I have not seen this yet.
I've seen people on ESPN. Not your boy Mark Spears, though, because I think he's got more credibility and sense than that. even though Mark Spears was looking pretty dapper today, this morning, in his suit. Yeah, and he made a joke about how he had left his romper at home.
Oh, man. Like, that's
okay.
That's not the visual I needed before dinner.
And he had to add in, he's like, and I look good in it too. I'm like, you know what, Spears? God. I'm not mad at you. I'm not. So, but yeah, some people on ESPN, and I guess people on Boston radio, which is always a crapshoot when you get the Boston sports talk crowd involved in anything. But like, it doesn't. It seems like a ridiculous notion to me, Marcus.
Yeah, I mean, Danny, listen, this team, that front office is a little smarter than that. And Isaiah is going into his last year of his contract. So, you know, I don't see why the Celtics would trade their best guaranteed player in terms of, you know, what he can do for a hope and a dream and Markel Fultz. I mean, now, I think the more logical solution is to trade that pick for a Jimmy Butler or a Gordon Hayward or someone who's more established and fills that small forward. I mean, the point guard need that, they're fine at guard from Thomas to the bench. They have a boatload of guards. Where they're lacking, though, is that small forward. With, I think Jay Crowder is a fine small forward, but he's not going to get you over the top. And from what I've seen of Jaylen Brown, he's not going to be ready to fill that spot right away at 20. Nope. So if you can go out and get a Jimmy Butler and put him at the three, or a Hayward, who, listen, if we're just, you know, being real, he would be the perfect Celtic. Like,
for a variety of reasons, though, Marcus.
Yeah, he would be the most popular player in Boston besides Brady.
Like, I was gonna say, not just for the obvious racial reasons, but, you know, coming to the team coached by his former college coach.
Yep.
So, like, there's an immediate familiarity there, and then I think in terms of his contract, though, Marcus, like, what would they have to do to get Hayward? Like, is it a straight trade, or what would they have to do? Because I think that makes the most sense to me in the offseason.
Hayward has 1 year left. So he would also be unrestricted the same year as Isaiah Thomas, which would not be ideal for the Celtics. Isaiah's only got, I think, $6 million on his deal for next year, but Jordan has $16 million. So a bit more money that you would have to shell out and then find a way to re-sign him.
Yeah, I still would go that route. I don't know if Gordon Hayward's worth the one, but I'm sure they could put something together.
Oh, he's worth the top pick.
Really? You think so?
Yeah. Assuming they have the money to keep him and not use him as a one-year rental, yeah, he's worth the top overall pick.
Well, that's the other thing, like, because I know people have tossed around Paul George or Jimmy Butler, and I think those would be rentals. Like, I'd especially Paul George. Like, I couldn't see him re-signing.
He's doing in L.A.
Yeah.
It's a matter of when. If it's the Lakers trading this pit for some reason to get him, or is
it... You mean that rig pick that they got?
How dare you? It's not rigged.
I mean,
they worked hard for that pick. They lost a lot of games.
I was saying, and they almost screwed it
they
up
almost,
at the end.
They almost won too much at the end, but... Hard work, dedication.
Now, I think as a Lakers fan, Marcus, this probably made you happy, but also just as an outsider and as somebody that likes Luke Walton, I don't want to see your boy all up in Luke's ear every 5 minutes. I don't need that in my life.
LeVar.
Yeah, pop's ball. I don't need him being down Luke's throat like that.
I'm going to say this now. I think the Lakers are going to eventually pass on Lonzo Ball.
Really? Because of LeVar?
Yeah.
Wow.
I think he's going to be too much of a liability. And when you have other guards out there, like a De'Aaron Fox, or even a Josh Jackson, I mean, listen, the Lakers, you forget they have a point guard. They have a point guard they spend a high pick on, in D'Angelo Russell.
That is true.
I'm not sure if they're ready to just give up on right away. And he's sort of proven that he can't really shoot the ball, so he can't really slide him to the two spot. So if you you can keep Russell, you can keep Clarkson. And if you draft a Josh Jackson, who the Lakers went out and signed Luol Deng looking for a small forward, that did not work out. I think that's not a bad option. There's also Jason Tatum, the small forward from Duke. So there's some options there if they wanted to not go the point guard route. But I think eventually LeVar is going to say something so egregious, if he hasn't already done it this past week, where Jeannie Buss and the rest of the Lakers front office are going to say, look, like, we can't take this dude. He's a liability for us.
Let's go there, Marcus. Let's go real quick, give our analysis of Golden State and San Antonio. Somebody stop the fight. Like that Simpsons episode where Krusty
is dead.
Krusty's beating up like the fake hamburger.
Yeah.
Stop it, he's already dead. Like this again, man, I know it's ridiculous what that one Spurs fan is doing in filing a lawsuit against Zaza Pachulia. But in a way I understand what he's saying though, because it's like, damn, we could have had a classic 7-game series. And now we got this.
Getting swept.
Yeah. It's like it's ugh. We could have had something.
Well, we have the finals. If everyone stays healthy for the finals, then we should finally see in the rubber match who's the better franchise here.
Yeah, this is good booking. This is a long term bill.
This is like if they did Hogan Savage again at WrestleMania 6.
Oh.
Because you had 4 and 5, or you had Mega Powers, and then you had the breakup. So then you would have like the rubber match between the two of them instead of Warrior.
Man, so I guess in this analogy, who would be who? Because the Cavs are kind of weirdly enough.
Warriors
the baby
have
face.
To be. If you're talking between Macho Man and
your boy Terry.
Ooh. Well, I think LeBron's Terry, right? So that'd be the Cavs.
Ah! I mean, he does say nigger a lot.
So Macho Man has to be the Warriors.
Yeah. Can we just go ahead and fast forward the week already? But let's talk about this LeVar Ball deal, because I found it a very interesting discussion, if not a little bit overblown. But he was on, what's the name of the woman that he was talking to on Cowherd Show? Kristen Leahy. And did you actually see it, or did you see it later on?
I saw it later that morning.
I was going to say, because nobody...
No one watches that show.
No one watches Cowherd. Or that show with him and Whitlock, which is just...
Yeah.
Like, it's PTI, but like the Bizarro World PTI. Like, instead of two people that we kind of like and are like old grumpy grandfathers or uncles...
Yeah.
Let's take two people that you absolutely don't like. That have no redeeming charm or likability whatsoever, and give them a show. But yeah, so he was talking to Christine, and I guess, I don't know, Marcus, because this brings me back to one of the more memorable discussions in Kings of Sport history. And it was when... Richard Sherman had that dust up with Aaron Andrews.
Uh-huh.
And it reminds me of the same thing. Like, I think LeVar Ball was disrespectful, but I don't think, like, I think she took it a little too far in terms of feeling like he was making a threat to her.
I guess, equally disappointed at Cowherd for not shutting this down earlier.
Yeah.
And I'm sure she has to feel some kind of way about him, you know, sort of letting LeVar just run over her like that without him stepping in and say, hey, like, listen, you need to respect my co-host, so you need to leave the set. He did none of that. So, yeah, I mean, there was that, and then there was the Kyrie Irving comment as well, which was also fucked up. Did you see that one?
No, I missed that one.
So, he was talking about Kyrie, and Kyrie basically said that LeVar needs to back off and let Lonzo be Lonzo.
Yeah.
And LeVar said, maybe he don't have the relationship that me and Zoe got, and I don't think he did. First of all, your mom wasn't there, so something's got to change right there. It's not the same. Lonzo can come home and see his mom and dad all the time. We've been together. Most people with this, with his talent usually has a single parent, not two of them together. The problem with that is Kyrie's mom died when she was four. When he was four.
Oof. Wow.
And LeVar clearly knew this and threw in that little dig about his parents not being there, his mom not being there. So, it's, you know, at some point he's going to put Lonzo in an awkward situation on the court.
Yeah, because like there's a fine line between kind of being the wrestling heel, which is like fun but harmless, and like annoying. Like he's basically playing your boy Heyman, like a black Paul Heyman for his son. Like, my name is LeVar Ball, and my client, Lonzo, like he's playing a role, okay, and I get that. But at the same time, like, there's a line that you cross, and I think if he hasn't crossed it already, he's tiptoeing up to the line.
I saw something today that basically compared what LeVar Ball is doing from the Donald Trump playbook. And
so he's Black Trump.
He's Black Trump. He's saying all these outlandish statements. He's keeping himself in the news cycle.
Yeah.
He's not really providing a lot of facts for some of the stuff. He just says it.
And in other cases, he's just outright lying.
Yeah. So, I mean, and listen, us as the media, we fall for this. We continue to write about him because he's clearly getting traffic for the media sites the same way Donald Trump has for the news sites. And, you know, the media could easily stop writing about the dude and he would go away, trust me.
Yeah.
But he knows that he can go on these shows and say whatever he wants.
Well, to be fair though, Marcus, if the media stopped covering him, you know he would just come out and claim it was because of racism?
Yeah, that's the one card he has not played yet.
The ESPN, and they scared of a powerful black man. I've been blackballed. By the way, Lonzo got a new shoe coming out called the Black Big Baller. Because you know he turned into another opportunity to sell his damn shoe.
Yeah. Yeah. Also this week in the Ball family was more details about the mother, Tina.
Yes.
Who had a stroke. And it was sort of under the radar, under the table. And it first came up during the NCAA tournament when I believe it was some message board caught wind of it and floated this story out about how she had this stroke and LeVar was keeping Lonzo away from her and didn't want Lonzo visiting Tina in the hospital and all this other stuff. So, you know, just it. He was asked during after the first game of the tournament about his mom, and he basically confirmed it without saying yes. He basically said, you know, family's off limits and I don't want to get into that. So, but it sounds like she's still not 100% from this stroke. And she was in the hospital for 2.5 months recovering from the stroke.
Damn.
Yeah. And she was someone who, if you watched, Slam did a video on the Ball family around Christmas time, and it was like the 6-minute clip. And she was in the clip. She was part of that, you know, part of the ball. I don't want to call it a cult, but she was part of the family. She was out there with LeVar, and then all of a sudden she just sort of disappeared, and now we know why. But
yeah,
if you're Tina Ball and you've been in the hospital the last 2.5 months, when you see your husband who's gone, who's upped it to 11, I wonder what you think about all this.
Yeah. And I'm wondering, like, about the other boys, because, like, Lonzo going to be all right. I'm wondering about the younger brothers.
Mello and Cello.
like, how are they experiencing this?
Yeah. That is interesting. LaMelo is going to be the other five-star talent. The middle son is going to UCLA next year. He was not as highly recruited as Lonzo or LaMelo.
He's going to end up being like the Cooper Manning?
I think you might be. He's
that
going.
Sucks. That sucks.
I know. Someone's got to be it, right?
Yeah. who's the bad Zeller brother? Is it Tyler or Cody?
I think they're both pretty bad.
Damn. Walk right into that one.
Yeah.
Who's the bad Morris? Is it Markeith?
No, that's pretty similar, actually. Marcus Markeith have similar games. He's You know what he is? He's gonna be like Taylor Griffin, Blake's brother.
Damn, I thought you were gonna go Damian Wilkins, but you went Taylor Griffin.
Yeah.
At least Damian Wilkins had an NBA career.
Yeah, LiAngelo.
Did Taylor Griffin play one game in the NBA?
Maybe. He might have literally played one game.
Because I know he was in the D League for a minute.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, poor Taylor Griffin.
Let's see. He's 31. Wow. Time flies.
Yeah. He's another one who has light skin privileges.
He played 8 games with the Phoenix Suns.
Okay.
So at least you can say, hey, I played in the NBA. It's better than me.
Oh, so they should like, you should get a show called The Other Brothers Podcast, and it'll be like Taylor Griffin, who's your man, Seth Curry,
all the
Damian Wilkins,
less superior brothers,
yeah, and Cooper Manning could be the executive producer,
yeah,
The Other Brothers,
yeah,
we got stories too,
yeah, LiAngelo is, he's going to UCLA in the fall. And listen, their offense is a little skewed. He averaged a bunch of points in high school, but he is not projected to be as good as Lonzo. So he might actually have to stay the 4 years, and then, which would be fun, I guess, because he'll get to play with his brother again by the time he's a junior. So
okay. Yeah, that'd be at least something that he could have, because he'd be the only one that they'd be the only two that they got to play with each other.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So, real quick, the other thing that's kind of spun out of this that I thought was funny, and just like this is a 2017 story,
mm-hmm.
is you had the initial thing on Cowherd between Leahy and LeVar Ball. And that then spun into Jason Whitlock criticizing LeVar Ball and coming to Christine's defense on what's their show? You heard me? I said it.
I ate it. I don't know.
two people you hate talk sports. I don't know what the name of that damn show is. But he came after LeVar Ball. And that led to maybe the greatest part of the story. Charlamagne Tha God giving Jason Whitlock Donkey of the Day. And then, actually, no. Before that, he accused Christine Leahy of playing the white victim card, the white woman dazzling distress card, or the Emmett Till card, if you will. And if you don't know who Emmett Till is, Google it, kids. And so then Whitlock came back at Charlamagne the God for that. And then Charlamagne the God on Friday, I believe, is either Thursday or Friday, gave Whitlock the donkey today and just ethered him. And like the I think the mic drop moment was like, he was like, I'm not even mad at you, Jason Whitlock. Because at the end of the day, you don't love yourself. No man that would let himself get that fat loves himself. I was like, damn, Charlamagne, you've gone too far, sir. I don't like Whitlock, and even I thought you went too far.
He said, you're too fat for a fedora?
He said, you're too fat for a fedora. There's a reason nobody is, none of the black people at ESPN wanted to work with you. You're a self-hating black man who is caving up for the white damsel in distress. And the reason that you're so fat is because you don't love yourself, Jason Whitlock. Like he went in.
Damn. Yeah. I mean, what was Whitlock supposed to do? Defend LeVar Ball for basically saying, listen, he did also add, bit ball brand's not for women. It's not for you. I mean, he kept going on. So Whitlock.
So you've established with Big Baller, it's not for women.
Not for women.
And it's not for broke niggas.
Yeah.
So it's already a large segment of your shoe buying population. It's for the
0.01%.
Well, even smaller than that, it's for the 0.01% of the 0.01% that happen to be black.
Yeah, that too.
So, there ain't no white people wearing these big ballers. I'm just going to let people know right now.
Oh, you don't, I don't know. Listen,
you think big ballers going to be big in the white community?
For, ironically, yeah. tell me you can't see little Jacob in middle school asking his parents, I got to get these big baller brand shoes because they're $500 and no one else has them. Come on.
It'll be big in the prep school community?
Yep.
With Chad and Bradley. but yeah, like kind of close out on this this LeVar Ball topic. Like, A, do you think this is the last kind of quote-unquote controversy we get before the draft? And B, do you think we'll ever get to a point where Lonzo's going to have that come to Jesus moment with his daddy, where he's like, "Yo, you messing up my money, man."
I am surprised he has not had that conversation already after the shoe deal stuff went south. And when you have major shoe companies telling you no thanks,
right?
And when you're projected to be the number two pick, that is a red flag. So I wonder, like, if he's scared of his father. I don't know, but he should have had that conversation by now.
Especially like I don't know what your boy Magic is thinking, but like if there was, let's say that right now, as of this moment, they intend to draft him with the second pick.
Mm-hmm.
And LeVar does something between now and the draft that messes that up. Like to me, like he gotta go.
LeVar?
Yeah. Like if LeVar does something between now and the draft that would deter him from going to, I guess, his favorite team and a place where he could be successful off and on the court if everything went right. Like, you got to go. You messing up my money.
Not only that, I mean, you have to start wondering, is he going to reach the point where Laker fans are going to be turned off by him, where they're going to take that sort of frustration out on Lonzo and just boo Lonzo because of his father? And I would hope Laker fans are smart enough to realize the talent that is there with Lonzo Ball and sort of can sort of separate the talent from the father. But, you know, let's not pretend the Lakers are going to be in a good spot next season and there will be more bumps along the road there. And if he struggles for whatever reason, I don't want Laker fans to turn on him just because of his father. So that's why I'm almost thinking it's almost better to go in a different direction and not even touch him.
You know what could be great, though? What they could really use to get rid of LeVar Ball is if they got a conversation with LeVar cussing out Magic Johnson, because that would be a no-no.
Oh, that's the mayor of Los Angeles.
So you get a conversation with LeVar cussing out the mayor of Los Angeles in private. There's only one man for this job, D'Angelo Russell. I'm looking at you.
Not only that, just get LeVar to say Lonzo is a better point guard than Magic was at 19.
Damn.
That's all it's going to take.
D'Angelo Russell, that's your mission for the offseason. Get that on tape.
Yeah, since you like recording people on the low.
Right, since you like recording people, Sean Stasiak.
Mm-hmm.
That's a deep reference for like 25% of our fans, our listeners. But yeah, like that to me would be the ultimate the point of no return if this man was talking shit about Magic.
I don't put it past him.
Who is he, Magic Johnson? Nigga, I'm better than Magic Johnson. Like, whoa, hold on. He pull a Donald Sterling. Big Magic Johnson, what's he done? Mm-hmm. He got AIDS.
Mm, yeah. Oh.
Like, I don't think that's the company you want to keep, LeVar.
No.
I hope it works out, though, man, because, like, from what little I've seen of Lonzo, like, particularly during the tournament, like, I think the kid has the talent on the court and the head on his shoulders to be good. I just hope his daddy, that this doesn't become a Ty Marinovich situation. His daddy basically jacked up his career.
Yeah. I mean, he was fun to watch in college. He was a pass first point guard who could also score when he needed to take over a game, he could take over a game. And I think he would be a star right away in LA. It's just a matter of his father at this point.
Yeah. So speaking of stars, brother Marcus, let's transition from the NBA onto our next topic this week, and that is the super fight of 2017, maybe 2018.
Maybe that's never. Maybe never.
And that is Floyd Money Mayweather versus Conor McGregor. Marcus Vandenberg, what say you about Dana White saying that the McGregor side is all sewed up and now they just need to take care of the Floyd side?
Don't believe the hype, people. Don't fall for this trap that Dana White is laying out here for you. Just because he's got a deal with Conor doesn't mean he's anywhere close to the bigger deal, which is getting Floyd to agree. So, while it sounds good on paper and people can sort of get confused by the wording, the language, and when they hear, Conor has a deal for the fight, that doesn't mean the fight is close to happening.
Hmm.
Sorry to burst your bubble.
Like, there's so many details, and Dan Raphael was on ESPN this morning.
Mm-hmm.
And he's just talking about, like, just the amount of wrangling back and forth that had to take place with Mayweather Pacquiao over the drug testing. And that's one issue.
Years.
Yeah. And so there's like they've got to talk about venues, and they got to talk about, you know, broadcast partners and how many rounds, like something as simple as how many rounds the fight would be.
Yep.
Like, there's a lot of negotiations still on the table for this.
And, you know, if you think this fight is happening like in September, you're at the earliest it's going to happen would be probably next May the earliest. And that's also, you know.
Actually, though, Marcus, if Floyd was smart, because you know his strategy of always fighting a Latino after Cinco de Mayo, why not, if the fight does happen, this fight has to happen St. Patrick's Day weekend.
I guess it depends when it falls on the calendar. Let's see.
Get all them angry Irish dollars.
The only problem with that would be, well, look at this. March 17th, 2018 is a Saturday.
Uh-oh. Book it. Oh, man.
And that's also the first weekend of the NCAA tournament as well. I'm not sure if that's doing would hurt. I mean, it probably hurt them a little bit.
Yeah.
It would definitely hurt the city of Vegas in terms of, like, rooms, because that's already a busy weekend as it is in Vegas. So when you add a fight of this magnitude on top of that, it would be a little crazy. But it is a Saturday.
Oh, just imagine the racial trafficking with that one.
Huh. I like this theory here.
And since you got an Irish dude fighting a black dude, the sponsor could be Guinness Black.
Oh. Have you had Guinness Black?
Bam. I have. I like it better than regular Guinness.
I've started drinking more stouts in my life.
Mm.
But I have not had any Guinness yet, so.
Regular Guinness, I'm not a fan of, but when it's super cold,
uh-huh.
It's really I won't say really good because that's overselling it, but it's good. But like it to me, even when it gets like a little bit warm, I don't like it at all.
Okay.
So like to me, it's gotta be super cold. But they got a new one too. It's like Guinness.
The Nature of One.
Guinness Blonde.
Oh yeah, I did see that one.
And I haven't tried that one yet. So I guess it's supposed to be like a lighter version of Guinness.
Hmm. Yeah, I have to try Guinness. What do you say soon? All right, back to the fight. yeah, I don't see it happening this year. If ever, and for Floyd, he's got nothing to lose in terms of dragging this out. But for Connor, yeah. The longer this drags out, it means the longer he's not going to be fighting in the UFC, and which means the longer he's not making any money. And with the new kid here, and the fact that he's sort of already been off for an extended stretch.
I was going to say, from a UFC standpoint, let's say this fight happens, but let's say it happens a year from now.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what are the ramifications in terms of his titles?
Yeah, that's a good question.
Because you would think they, like, you can't just go, like, a year without having a champion. Like, what is this, the WWE?
I mean, he could, in theory, fight between now and then and defend the title in the UFC, but that doesn't seem likely, so...
Yeah,
I think he'd be willing to
go to interim champ.
I mean, he would be willing to lose the title for a guaranteed payday. So,
yeah,
that wouldn't upset him.
But real quick, kind of tying it back to basketball, because the exclusive interview with Dana White, if you will, took place after game one
mm-hmm.
of the Eastern Conference Finals. On a TNT, and it was some unintentional comedy because you had the NBA on TNT guys, the you know the best in the business, Shaq, Ernie, Kenny. I don't think Charles was with him that night. I don't remember.
I think he was there.
He probably was. There was somebody else. It might have been Steve Smith was with him too.
Okay.
Because there was somebody else. But yeah, Charles would have had to have been there if it was game one. But Dana was out there talking about the fight, and I don't know if it was Steve Smith or Charles, but they were like, so Dana, is this going to be a boxing match or is this going to be a UFC fight? What's going to be the rules? Like, oh no. Like, if you don't know by now that this is not, like, Floyd is not signing up for any combat beyond punching.
Yeah, this would be a straight boxing match.
Yeah, and Dana just said it just like that. Like, he had the look on his face like, these niggas.
Hmm.
He's like, because you know people from Boston like saying that word. Mm. Shout out to Adam Jones.
I need proof.
Yeah, I need proof. But he was just like, yeah, guys, it's gonna be a boxing match.
Whether it's, you know, 10 rounds, 12 rounds. It won't be 12, probably. It's...
Yeah,
it'll be
probably 10.
Yeah,
They should come up with a fake belt just for this fight. Why not?
Yeah, might as well. I mean,
make it a title match.
Belts mean nothing these days, even in boxing.
Be like when Mike Tyson punch out like one of those, like the world circuit champion. Mm-hmm. Just come out with like a fake belt with the globe on it, and the new world circuit champion. So I guess two questions on this, Marcus. A, on a scale of 1 to 10, what odds, with one being not going to happen and 10 being definitely going to happen, where do you put this fight? And number two, if it does happen, will you put your hard-earned money towards this thing?
I would give it a 4.
Mm.
And if this fight happens, I'd probably be at the fight. So I guess that's me giving my money back to the city of Las Vegas. I don't know.
Okay. I mean, Marcus's humble brag aside.
Not humble, just working.
I'm gonna be at the fight. I'm gonna be front row. I'm not gonna get kicked out like Rachel Nichols.
I will be in the press tent like Mayweather Pacquiao with the rest of the non important people.
Yeah, like I said, at least you made it in, unlike poor little Rachel Nichols.
No, was it Beetle?
I thought it was Beetle and Rachel. Or Beetle got kicked out and Rachel stood in solidarity.
It wasn't Rachel Nichols. She did boxing?
I thought it was Nichols. I might be thinking of...
I think you're profiling here.
It was either Nichols or Ramona Shelburne.
Nah, let's see. Maybe other Pacquiao media.
Some white lady that works for ESPN. Linda Cohn. It was Linda Cohn.
It wasn't hockey. She wasn't there. Oh, yeah. It was Nichols. Nichols and Beetle.
Yeah, I don't know why Nichols was there.
That was the weekend I ran into Beetle, and she won me over. Because I pointed her in the right direction.
Okay. You keep telling me. You keep telling me Beetle and Colin Cowherd are nice people. I don't believe you.
Beetle was nice, and Colin was super nice. And I've heard Steve Bayless is also nice.
I'm like the white people in Boston. I need proof. But yeah, I think I might go a little bit higher, Marcus, just because there's so much money to be made by all these gullible people. I'm gonna put it at a 6 out of 10. And will I buy it? No, I will either.
Will I stream
it? I'll either go to a bar or, call my cable company in nefarious means and get that worked out.
But you'll watch it.
Yeah, I'll watch it.
And the people who are saying, I'm not going to watch it, you're lying. You're going to watch it.
Yeah, you're going to watch it.
Whether you pay for it, that's one thing. Whether you watch it after it happened, you're going to watch it.
Yeah. So we'll see what happens with that. Does the biggest fight of the year. A, does it happen? And B, will it happen before we're old?
It would be bigger than maybe the Pacquiao.
Yeah, it would. Because not only do you have the boxing fans, but you're bringing in the UFC audience.
Yeah, and you're bringing in the biggest star of the UFC with the biggest star in boxing in the last 20 years or so. So, yep.
And a lot of Irish pay-per-view buys.
Yeah.
So... I hope it gets none, just for the spectacle of it. But you talk about spectacles, Marcus. And this week, I don't know why, but a conversation that you and I had maybe a month or so ago when regarding one, Cameron Newton, has come back in full force. And that is the notion of grown-ass man wearing little-ass rompers.
Male rompers are a thing? ?
For what? For who?
The romp him. Which
just sounds bad.
Yeah, sounds dirty.
Yeah.
It's going through the I think it's GoFundMe, maybe. Kickstarter. And, yeah, I don't know. We did establish that Cam was wearing a two-piece. He wasn't wearing a romper. But if you told me Cam was wearing a romper, and he was like the major investor in this Romp Him brand, I would not be surprised.
Yeah, it wouldn't shock me.
No. I'd be surprised if he wasn't invested in this.
Right. I mean, like, I would expect Cam Newton and Russell Westbrook to be on the board.
Yeah.
Our founders. It'd be Newton, Westbrook, and Tom Brady wearing Uggs and a romper.
I'm reading this GQ interview with one of the guys behind it, and he was saying, really, the main issue is the bathroom. We were told by our female friends that it's not ideal in the romper. So we solved that at least partially for guys. We also provided a zipper in the back pocket for extra security, which is something we heard guys were worried about. And then Chi-Chi said, so you made it pee-friendly? Clark said, the thing that comes out for women as well, I hate wearing it in any kind of public setting where I'm going to have to use the restroom because I basically have to take it off all the way and it gets quite awkward. But what we found was for guys was we could work around that problem with a zipper fly, and that solved the vast majority of public restroom issues.
Well, time out. That only solves half of the public restroom issue.
That does not solve the bigger restroom issue.
Right. So is it a zipper that goes all the way back?
Nah, just up front.
Because, yeah, you solved one of the problems, but there's still a larger issue at hand.
Yes. And then my favorite question. Do you recommend men wear briefs with the romp hem? Yeah, absolutely. I don't know if that's up on our FAQ yet, but if not, it will certainly be added there. It's definitely one where the underwear selection is an important choice. Oh, boy.
Yeah, so, like, social media's had a ball with this over the past week, particularly Black Twitter. And, Marcus, I guess the question to you, if somebody, like, let's say Nike who's your favorite clothing designer?
Favorite clothing designer? We didn't say Nike. That's fine.
Okay, let's say Nike comes out with a fire romper. Would you get it?
No. I mean, listen. Would I pay for it? No. Now, if it were a gift.
Okay. Yeah. What if Phil Knight he read some of the work you did at Yahoo and was like, you know what? I like this brother. And he sent you like a fly, baby blue, Dodger blue romper. Mm-hmm. Would you wear it?
I think I would wear it ironically, I don't know where I would wear it to. I mean, I'm not going to wear it.
I like how you came up with this little loophole. I'd wear it ironically, like you wouldn't be enjoying the romper.
Like if I were in Hawaii, would I wear a romper that was given to me? I don't know. I mean, it would really depend on just how it felt when I put it on.
Right.
Because this doesn't look comfortable as a man.
Yeah.
And if it were super comfortable and it didn't feel like I was wearing a dress or anything like that, then I don't know.
See, like, if same situation, let's say Phil Knight gave me like a dope Atlanta Falcons colored romper.
You joke, but this is going to be like Shark Tank season 9. Like, someone's going to present Mark Cuban with like a Dallas Mavs themed romper, and he's gonna go all in on it.
Like, I think I might wear it around the house, but I don't think I can wear it in public. Just A, for the functionality of the romper, but B, like, I don't have a romper body. I think you have to either be really skinny or really like buff to wear a romper, and I'm in between. Like, I'm not like, I got a beer gut. And I got muscles, but I'm not Lex Luger. Like, I think Lex Luger can wear a romper, and Conan O'Brien can wear a romper. Like, you got to be one of the two extremes.
Too tall for a romper. I think if you're too tall, that
oh, because you got a lot of legs showing.
Yeah.
So yeah, so you got to either be skinny or muscular, but you can't be too tall. Could John Cena wear a romper?
He's too big.
Too big?
He's too muscular, yeah.
this is a fun game now. Who is the man that can best pull off the romper?
Who's the wrestler that can pull off the romper? The romp him.
Definitely not Big E. Big E's too big for him.
Oh, my God. Jack Gallagher.
Yeah, I can see Gallagher in the romp.
That and his parasol.
Oh, that's a great combination. Accessorizing.
What a heel he would be.
Somebody's got to do it. So there's got to be a wrestler.
What wrestlers will be? What is Young Bucks or?
Oh, I can see the Bucks in
the
romp.
I can see the Bucks doing it. And your custom made Young Bucks or your Bullet Club romper?
Yeah. If Hardy was still doing the broken thing in TNA and on the Indies, I could see him coming out with a House Hardy romper. Him and his son wearing matching romper. yeah, this is what America is in 2017, Marcus.
So the original goal was only $10,000. It is currently up to $356,000 pledged. 3,000 backers have signed on.
I hate to say it, but this is how Donald Trump got elected, man. Y'all people think it's cute.
Mm-hmm.
Be out here voting for stuff and funding stuff. But then when it really happens and you win a romper a year from now, you got to go to work. You got nobody to blame but yourself.
In order to, purchase one through Kickstarter, you need to pledge at least $90.
Which is probably reasonable.
Yeah, that doesn't seem terrible.
Yeah. If I'm going to waste my money on a romper, I think $90 would be within the realm of acceptable funds.
Yeah.
I have a bad feeling, especially for like the young black dudes, because they already, you know, and this is the segment where Nate and Marcus become older. You know, these damn skinny jeans, like it's already, you got Young Thug walking around in dresses. What's next? Designer wearing a romper?
Shout out to Designer who got the Paul Heyman treatment. You see that?
I saw Paul. I didn't know Paul Heyman was a fan of Designer.
Yeah, I was aware of this, and I have not asked about the backstory about how he became aware of Designer.
Gotta be his kids, right?
No, I think his kids might be a little young for Designer.
Maybe somebody in the locker room was listening.
Maybe
Brock Lesnar is a huge Designer fan.
Oh, that'd be great.
Hey, Paul, you got to hear this Panda shit, man. have you heard this Timmy Turner? Which, shout out to Designer for actually making a club record with a club record off a damn cartoon. I remember when I first heard the song on the radio, like, this Negro make a song off a Nickelodeon cartoon?
Yeah.
And niggas is dancing to it? But I saw the tweet from Heyman, and I was like, I don't know what this is about, but I like it.
Yeah, he's a lot, I guess, more in tune with pop culture than you might think. But yeah, I could easily see rappers wearing this. Listen, that's all it's going to take is a rapper or two.
Wearing a romper.
Lil Uzi coming out in a romper. Lil Yachty. All these little rappers. You sound real old, Nate.
Now, if Chance comes out in a romper,
No Chance, no Kendrick, no Drake.
I might have to rethink things. Like, you know what? If Chance is wearing a romper, maybe he's on to something because he'd be talking to Jesus.
Nah. Those Ray Schwarmer kids. Rompers.
Imagine you said Ray Schwarmer like they had a restaurant. Ray Schwarmer.
they're the rompers.
Yeah, I can see them in the rompers. Migos is getting rompers.
Yeah.
All three of them is getting rompers.
Watch. By the time... Might be a little soon. Maybe not the BET Awards next month, but like the MTV Music Awards in August.
Oh, the BET Awards is going to be full of rompers.
Nah, too soon, I think. That's like next month. You got to start planning it. Unless there's another romper company we don't know about.
That's going to be the thing of competing...
Romp him companies.
Competing romp him companies.
Yeah, give it by artist, by the MTV Awards. Whoever's the hot rap artist by artist, God knows who. I would say a good shot for a romper.
Maybe LeVar Ball will come out with his own line of rompers.
He should.
Only big ballers can wear these rompers. Which is ironic, because one of the logistical issues with a romper is that big baller region.
Yeah, and that big boo boo region too. What do you do about that?
Again, that's a critical piece of technology,
especially when you're out not at home.
That's a part of the design that I think they're overlooking. So we'll see, Marcus.
That's why Cam had a two-piece.
Cam Newton, smarter than you think, people. So on that note, I think we're going to call it a show. It's a good conversation this week, brother.
Next week's show, to be determined. I'm going to be out of town. I had a bachelor party.
Where at?
Toronto.
I thought you were going to say Vegas.
No. Like, oh. No. Going back to the sits.
Who are all these people you know that are getting married? Because was the last wedding in Toronto?
Last July, wedding was in Toronto, yeah.
Like, who are all of these Americans that are getting married in Toronto or engaged in Toronto?
No. Just the weekend. The wedding's in Virginia. This is the same guy.
Okay.
So he just
wanted to go to Toronto?
Never been to Toronto. It's Memorial Day weekend. Most of his wedding party / friends are on the East Coast, so like New York, Boston area.
Marcus just had a brilliant idea. You could pitch this to your boy next week, maybe after a couple of drinks at the bachelor party. The groomsmen?
Oh no,
instead of tuxes?
I'm in this wedding. Come out? No, I know. Nope.
Matching rompers, dog.
Nope.
Instead of a black tie affair, it's a black romper affair. It'd be a memorable wedding, Marcus.
It would be. It would be my last wedding involved.
Like the bridesmaids and the groom can both wear rompers.
Yeah, I don't see that happening.
just a thought, just spitballing. You can, like I said, you know, just bring it up after a couple drinks.
All right, we'll see.
We'll figure out what we're gonna do for next week off air. But until then, Marcus, where can the people find you? Where can they follow you on social media? And also, you know, if they want to talk to you about maybe a good burger joint to check out when you're up in Toronto, where can they hit you up at?
Yes, I still have not done Harvey's yet. Do you recommend Harvey's?
Harvey's, I mean, it's a fast food burger, but I had the Great American Meal when I was up there. And, you know, for a fast food burger in Canada, it was pretty good.
Hmm.
It felt very much like, I'm trying to think the closest counterpoint in it, like in terms American of American
fast food
burgers. It was almost like a Sonic burger. I don't know if you've had a Sonic burger.
I don't think I have. I've been to Sonic, but I don't think I've had the burgers.
It was kind of like a Sonic burger. Like, it was more Sonic than McDonald's, I'd say.
Okay. Last time I went, I had a burger from the Keg, which is a franchise up there. So I will, I'm there for like 5 days. So I'll make sure to have at least a burger. And my now second home of Toronto.
Well, technically, technically, would it be your third home or your fourth home?
If you're doing, the travel power rankings now, I think Vegas is like, taking a step back. I don't go as often now.
So Orlando is surpassed Vegas?
Ooh. Yeah, I mean, I've done Orlando 3 times in like the span of 7 months. So, yeah, I think Orlando's one. Toronto 2.
Mm.
Vegas 3 and then New York 4. And New York for a while was number 1, but I've gone less and less over the years since I left, so.
Okay.
So yeah,
okay.
I'm going to try to meet up with Wayne John on Friday. So.
Maybe
you'll
be
in your regards.
I'm going to say, maybe you'll be his top secret guest for the next review away.
There you go.
Do a walk on.
And a walk
hey,
off.
Everybody. It's Marcus.
Hey, who let this black man in?
hey, they're a little bit more they're a little bit more accepting of the Fight Network than in some places in America. So I'm sure you'll be fine.
Yeah, I'll be fine. But if you want to watch these shenanigans go down, Marco Will, MarcoWill.
And you can find me on Twitter, in the number 8, MOZAIK, at Nate Mosaic on Twitter. You can follow the show at Cospod, KOS_POD, Cospod on Twitter. Follow us on the Facebook page, facebook.com/KingsOfSport. And if you want to subscribe to the show, if you're new to the show and you're just hearing this, maybe somebody recommended that you check the show out, you can subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher, or Podcast Addict, or wherever you find your podcast. Subscribe. While you're there, hit that like button, hit that 5-star review button, or 4-star. I don't know. I don't want to, you know, tell you what to give us as a grade, but you know, well, listen to your heart and give us a grade. And most importantly, if you like what we're doing, share the show with your friends or even your enemies, and maybe you'll make a new friend. So, that is going to do it for this week, brother. And like you said, we'll find out what we do next week. But until then, you got anything else you want to say to the people?
No, that's it.
All right. And again, we want to thank you for listening. Thanks for downloading. And we'll be back next week with an all-new edition of the world's most dangerous sports show, the Kings of Sport podcast. So, for Marcus Vandenberg, I am the Godfather, Nate Milton. Rumpa Bumpa, Stomp a Boo, tell me do. Magic Mirror, tell me today, have all my friends had fun at play? 'Cause you've been down with the Kings.
Bing bong on the bay daddy do. Bing bong tick tock bee ba boom. Flip flop up the bee my loo. Bobbity bobbity rock the room. Hey diddle little fiddle dum diddy do. You be a doobie. Ding dong clock clock hey daddy do. Tip tap pitter pat gray cat too. Rooty toot kimble.
Well, that's it for this edition of the Royal Rant. Agree with our take? Think we're off base? Or maybe you've got something completely different that you need to vent about. Well, tell us why you're mad on Facebook, facebook.com/thekingofsports, or on Twitter, Cospod on Twitter. That's KOS underscore POD, Cospod on Twitter.
Time is really wasted.
That one is hot fire.